Taylor Tarter, and this is Fastball Fantasy Baseball. On today's podcast, I'll be continuing my look at pitching statistics and how analyzing a combination of sabermetric pitching data can help you in your fantasy baseball leagues. Let's get into it. Last week, I began my series on sabermetric and traditional pitching statistics and how fantasy baseball managers can use those statistics to influence their decision-making in various aspects of the game. The first stat introduced last week was K9, or strikeouts per nine innings, which is the first thing I look for when I begin my analysis of pitchers. Now remember, K9 is the amount of strikeouts a pitcher averages over nine innings. If you missed last week, make sure to give it a listen. Remember, everything that I'm going over in this series is all part of the same puzzle. All of these stats are linked together, or should be linked together in your research. That being said, today we're going to talk about FIP. FIP stands for Fielding Independent Pitching, and in the most basic terms, what it means is that it's what the pitcher's ERA would be if you don't factor in the defense. In a more detailed sense, it takes defense, strikeouts, walks, hit by pitches, and home runs allowed out of the equation. FIP only factors in the outcomes of balls that get put in play while including league average defense in the equation. There's a fancy mathematical equation involved, but I'm not going to get into that because it's way over my head. But if you want to look it up, you can go to FanGraphs, and they have a great glossary where they explain it in detail with all the math. But to help explain it a little more, I'll give you an example. So think about somebody like Patrick Corbin from the Nationals pitching to Bryce Harper with the Phillies. Let's say there's a runner on second base, and let's say Harper hits it to center field. And on that day, Michael A. Taylor is in center. Now, it's a deep hit, and for most defenders, it would be tough to get to, but Michael A. Taylor is a great defender, and he gets to it. He saves a potential run from being scored, and he keeps Patrick Corbin's ERA low. Now, because Corbin had a great defender behind him, his ERA is made better. And if, let's say, the same thing happened, but instead of Michael A. Taylor in center field, it's Albert Almora, who last year was ranked as the second worst defensive center fielder. And let's say he misplays the ball. Then that run scores from second, and the pitcher's ERA is going to go up because of that below average defense behind him. So what FIP does is it takes that out of the equation and only considers what would happen with a league average defender there. And a lot of people, especially those in the fantasy baseball community, will say that FIP is a lot more revealing to a pitcher's true value than ERA, and so you can see why. So you might be wondering what this analysis looks like, so I'll give you an example. A player I was targeting last year was Noah Syndergaard. Now, he's out this year because of Tommy John surgery, so don't go after him this year. Don't try to draft him or pick him up. But the reason that I was targeting him last year was because, first, he was a high strikeout pitcher with a 9-plus strikeouts per 9 last year. And his ERA was a 4.28, which is okay, but not exciting. But the thing that struck me was that his FIP was 3.60, meaning that the defense behind him, along with a few other factors, like a higher than average amount of fly balls turning into home runs against him, was costing him more than half a run. And so from this data, you could reasonably assume that he should and could improve to get closer to that 3.60 ERA, you know, that 3.60 FIP, if he had a couple good defensive games. And, you know, if a few extra, you know, of those home runs had actually been flyouts. And looking at his month-to-month data, he actually improved greatly throughout the year. His April ERA was 6.35, but he improved each month after that through July. where he had a 2.70 ERA. And if you paid attention to his FIP, you could potentially have foreseen that and tried to buy low, which I tried to do. Now, similarly, you can compare a pitcher's ERA and FIP to find sell high candidates on your own team. These are pitchers who have low ERAs but high FIPs, meaning that they likely should be doing worse than they are because they're benefiting from above average defense or fewer fly balls turning into home runs or, you know, a number of other factors. One of the most stark examples of this I can find from last year is Dakota Hudson, pitcher from St. Louis. His 2019 ERA was 3.35, but his FIP was 4.93. So on the surface, he looks like a good pitcher, but it seems like he just got kind of lucky last year. He had a bunch of batters ground into double plays, and in his three best months from last year, his pitching BABIP, which we'll get into in the future, was extraordinarily low, meaning the batters were getting super unlucky against him. He would have been a prime trade high candidate, even with the low strikeouts, especially for a team that needed an ERA boost. However, the risk with him is that he could get unlucky and a string of bad starts, you know, and things evening out more could balloon his ERA. Then he completely loses value. But if you used FIP to see the downward spiral coming, you could sell high on a player like him. Now, of course, his downward spiral never came. And for a pitcher like Noah Syndergaard, his ERA went back up towards the end of the year. So it's about finding these players at the right time. So let's get into looking for this stat. And like usual, we'll go to my favorite website, FanGraphs. We're going to do this two ways. But so the first way I want you to do this is if you go to the top right of the page on FanGraphs and select leaders. When it drops down, choose pitching leaders from 2019. And for our purposes, even though we're looking at FIP, I still want you to sort by K9. So click on that column. And what I want you to do for a little practice is find a few pitchers who you would buy low on. So these are pitchers whose FIP suggests that they should have done better than what their ERA says, and who could have some sneaky value going into this year. So press pause, take a look, and when you're ready, come back and you can compare with my list. So my buy low candidate pitchers from last year who I think have an opportunity to be really good this year are Robbie Ray, Matthew Boyd, Lance Lynn, Max Fried, and Germán Márquez. Let's do the same thing, but with pitchers you might sell high on. If they were on your roster or pitchers who maybe are being valued too high going into this season, who is on your list? For me, I'm staying away from Aaron Nola and Clayton Kershaw. I think they're being valued too high and may have a little regression coming into this year. Now, the other way to do this sort of analysis is if you've drafted already and the season has begun and you can see the stats in real time. Now, once the season starts, you'll want to keep track of pitchers' FIPs on a weekly basis, at least. If you're crazy like me, you'll check every day. But using FIP as a guiding statistic is a great way to gauge the true value of a pitcher in your league. So finally, who do you go after this season, whether you've drafted or not, based on their FIP from last year? Now, I could give you some obvious names like Max Scherzer or Charlie Morton or Shane Bieber, but that's not what you're here for. So let's find some value later in the draft or someone that your fellow league managers are undervaluing or overlooking. So I suggest targeting Max Fried from the Braves. First, he's a high strikeout pitcher. In 165 innings last season, he struck out 173 batters, which means he's averaging more than a batter per inning of strikeouts. He also leaves about 75% of runners on base, meaning that he's limiting scoring opportunities against him. And that number was 82% in 2018. He's been getting better at limiting walks and home runs, but he's still plagued by a well above average home run to fly ball ratio against him, which probably has something to do with playing in a division where four of the five teams play in the top 15 of hitter-friendly parks, according to 2019 Park Factors data. I'll get into the pitching end of home run to fly ball rate in a future podcast, but generally know that it can spike a pitcher's ERA. And since ERA factors in home runs and FIP doesn't, and his FIP last year was 3.72 compared to a 4.02 ERA, Max Fried is a player I recommend looking for in your leagues this year. So what I wanted to do today is go through each position and do sort of a best available list of who might be out there on your waiver wire or who might be available for you to draft if your league hasn't drafted yet. Now, these are going to be players who could be targeted later in the draft or players to target via trade or being claimed off the waiver wire. These are also players who you'd be taking a little bit of a gamble on. So if you see that they're underperforming, you should be comfortable with dropping them for someone else. These are also players who, if they perform well, you could trade for more value or keep them on your team. So let's start with catchers. Jason Castro with the Angels is someone to keep your eye on. He had great metrics last year and was playing behind Mitch Garver in Minnesota. Now he's the starting catcher, likely starting catcher in Los Angeles. He's probably going to split time with Max Stassi, who I'd actually also recommend as a deep sleeper along with Castro. I'd also keep an eye on Carson Kelly in Arizona and Danny Jansen in Toronto. Some first basemen who I think would likely be out there in a lot of leagues who could have some value are Eric Thames in Washington, who's probably going to be splitting time there, might get a little bit of time in right field. I'd also recommend keeping an eye on Garrett Cooper in Miami and Brandon Dixon in Detroit, both of whom have excellent metrics and are eligible for the outfield in addition to first base. Now, it's likely for second baseman that the Rangers' Rougned Odor is available in your leagues. He is a great sleeper candidate. He really, really underperformed the data from last year and could be a real bounce back candidate for this year. I've also talked about him in a previous podcast, so he's definitely value at second base. Tommy La Stella from the Angels, also eligible at third base, is another name to pick up if you need some positional flexibility and a good bat in your corner or middle infield slots. And one of the most undervalued second basemen, I think, is Derek Dietrich in Cincy. He was incredibly unlucky last year, but still managed to crank nearly 20 home runs and 250 at-bats. His average will be better this year, and I'll take 20 home runs from my middle infield or utility slot. He's also first base eligible. At third base, look for Gio Urshela. He had great numbers last year, and I'd expect the same this year. We'll see how he fits into a deep Yankees lineup, but he's somebody you could target at the back end of your draft to find some value. Another couple interesting names at third base are Asdrubal Cabrera of the Nationals, also eligible at second base, and Evan Longoria in San Francisco. Yep, that Evan Longoria, still around, still valuable. Shortstop is pretty deep this year, so a lot of the top shortstops are likely going to be rostered. However, there are some solid players being overlooked where you can find some value late in drafts or on the waiver wire after your drafts. Dansby Swanson from Atlanta and Nico Goodrum from Detroit, who is also eligible at second in the outfield, are two players I'd target if you need some depth there. The Cardinals' Tyler O'Neill would be a great outfielder to target late in your drafts or on waivers. He'll give you some good pop. You know, that it's at the expense of batting average, though, so make sure you have good average throughout your team. Same for White Sox outfielder Nomar Mazara, Dodgers outfielder AJ Pollock, Red Sox outfielder Alex Verdugo, and Braves outfielder Austin Riley. I think these are all great names, great value candidates that you could pick up as your last pick in the draft, or you know, who are going to be out there in your waiver wire free agency, who you could pick up if some of your other outfielders aren't doing so hot in a shortened season. There's also some good value at pitching going late in drafts or undrafted. I think the Pirates' Joe Musgrove could have some value this year. Minnesota's Jake Odorizzi had a great start to last season, and I think he could do well in a shortened season this year. And the Rangers' Mike Minor could be very valuable in a shortened season as well. So that's all for today. Next week, I'm potentially going to have a very special guest on. We're going to be talking some fantasy baseball, some real baseball, and I'll get his take on what's going to happen this season. And in the week after, we'll get back into pitching metrics. Thanks for listening.